Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back, folks. We are at the Miller Lite venue at Jazz Fest. If you have plans to get out here, you need to get out here right now. It's literally like air conditioned out here. I mean, it is so comfortable. The wind's blowing. There's like no humidity. Where'd the humidity go? It was humid as hell when we got out here early this morning. Now it's gone. And it's just a great time to be out here. Come visit us out at the Miller Lite tent. We have Julie Vaucresson, the Creole sausage queen. We have royalty in the house. Royalty
That's right.
In the house. With a beautiful smile to boot. She is married to Vance Vaucresson, whose family has been in the business 126 years making sausage. And Julie was just telling me the story that her husband started out here in diapers.
That's right. We're the only original food vendor here at the festival. And my husband was at the first fest in a bassinet, six months old.
And serving sausage.
And the interesting thing is that my father-in-law, Sonny Vaucresson, had a restaurant on Bourbon Street.
On Bourbon Street, not that yet.
Where the Pat O'Brien's Annex is.
Uh-huh.
And the actual concept to start the jazz festival was discussed there.
Oh,
George
really?
Ween, who did the Newport Jazz Festival, was there with Larry Borenstein and Alan Jaffe. And they all, and my father-in-law, and they all talked about having a festival here.
And we interviewed Quint Davis earlier this morning and got to visit with him. And so, first let me just say, I love your sausage. The alligator sausage is actually my personal favorite. I think a lot of people miss the mark on their alligator sausage, but not you guys. So, but you're offering, what, about five or six different sausages here?
So here we have four.
Four.
But we're also doing hogshead cheese.
Hogshead cheese.
Which is a iconic food.
So I got to ask you, when somebody from out of town or from Europe or otherwise, they ask, I'm sure, what is hogshead cheese? What do you tell them?
We say it's Seventh Ward Creole Pate. That's what we tell them. No lies.
And what look do you get?
We always get a puzzled look.
Say that again.
Seventh Ward Creole Pate.
Creole Pate. Yeah, I mean, obviously the lines are long, and to go through the description about everything that goes into hogshead cheese would take a while, right?
And I think people really don't want to know what goes into.
They really don't want to know. Yeah, it's kind of along the lines of a hot dog, right?
You really don't want to know.
Don't really want to know. What is the most popular dish that y'all have?
So out here, we sell hot sausage like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That is the number one seller.
The number one. Yeah.
And then in the past years, crawfish sausage was the next favorite.
Oh, really?
But now we're doing jerk chicken sausage. And that has been a banger out here. And we serve it with pickled onions and a mango mustard sauce because we started our own line of condiments. We do a mustard line.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you have good sausage, you have to have good mustard, right?
It goes together.
Absolutely.
So I do the mustard. My husband does the sausage. I always say it's like a love story. I'm the must. He's the must to my mustard, and I'm the sauce to his sausage.
I love it. Folks, you have to see her smile. She has the most beautiful smile.
Aww.
How much fun is this out here for you guys?
Very little. No, I'm just joking. It's actually a great time. It's wonderful because we get so many people that come up to us and they say, you're the first stop I have every year. I've been doing this for 15, 20 years, and I always come here first. Right. So it's kind of special to be a part of people's memories and their festival traditions.
Do y'all try to do something new or a little different or a little twist for every Jazz Fest?
We do. We've done sausage samplers. We've done one where we had sautéed peppers and onions and Asiago cheese. This year, of course, it's the hogshead cheese.
It's the hogshead cheese. Mm-hmm. How did that go on the first weekend?
So this
Say,
is.
The, I love hogshead cheese.
Oh, we have to get you some.
I know a lot of people are like.
Right. So last year, it was kind of slow moving, but this year, people know about it, they like it, and so it's been good.
Yeah. Is it spicy? Is your brand?
The one out here is mild.
Mild, yeah.
But at our restaurant, we do serve, you know, we have a cafe and deli, and we do serve the spicy one.
So the prep for this event.
Oh, gosh.
It's got to be off the rails, right?
The whole month of April kind of stops for us because we do French Quarter Fest first.
Right.
And then we roll into this. So, yes, it's lots of sausage being made, lots of mustards being made. Just it's a part of our life. April is festival season.
Your production facility is here?
We do boutique processing at our cafe and deli. So if you come in, you can see them making sausage. Mm-hmm. But most of it, the large-scale production happens out at Metairie.
In Metairie, yeah. It's hard to do it while operating a restaurant as well, right?
Right.
Too many moving parts at one time.
Exactly. But you can come in and Vance is making sausage and he gives a history lesson while he does it. So,
And the family immigrated here from where?
France.
From France.
Yes.
And why the sausage? How did they end up? Was that something that the family brought as a tradition from France? Or?
Now, that I don't know, but I do know his grandfather, because Vance is a third-generation sausage maker.
Uh-huh.
His grandfather started in a Circle food store back when it was the St. Bernard Market. So he had a stall, and he was a butcher that made sausage.
Oh, cool.
And so then Vance's father started the sausage, you know, wholesale and distributing of sausage.
You know, it's a special moment for me because I don't, you know, you hear about these families that have been here and have developed this and contributed to the culture of the city in so many different ways. And to have a food product, you know, for 126 years and still stay in the course generation after generation, you read about folks like yourself, mm-hmm. but you don't always get a chance to meet them. So it's a special moment for me.
Aw, thank you.
I mean, it really is. Because, you know, I've heard about the Vaucroissant family forever. Anybody who's ever been in New Orleans has heard about the family. But you don't get to meet folks all the time about that. How it's got to be really interesting for you guys where people really have the desire to meet y'all.
All day long at the booth.
Yeah.
It's almost like we stop, we take pictures, but we love it. It's great. And it happens at the restaurant as well.
Yeah.
When people come in, they love seeing my kids working in there. They like seeing Vance making the sausages and me at the register.
That has to be incredibly rewarding, right?
Oh, it is. It really, really is. And it's wonderful because it's more than just the sausage. Our tagline is culture, community, and cuisine.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a legacy, you know, that you just want to keep on going and going and going. And I know the consumers of your product want you to keep going and going and going as well, right?
Right.
So Julie Vaucroissant, the Creole sausage queen, and she actually claims to know Luke. Now, that's dangerous. For those of you that don't know, Luke operates everything out here. He makes it happen. And I was teasing her when I say, wait, you claim him? You know him?
I claim him. He's a good guy.
Nah,
he really is.
He truly is. We're just having a little fun. But thank you so much for joining us and have a great second weekend of Jazz Fest.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And best of luck to you.
Thank you.
We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Helen Gillette. Helen Gillet, award-winning cellist, producer, and singer. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
And you will be on the Lanyap stage today at 12:40.
That's right.
Now, folks, she plays the cello with looping pedals, and I was just telling Helen that there are sounds that come out of that instrument that if you weren't watching her perform, you would never guess that it was a cello that was actually producing those sounds. And you were, you know, moved by that. But, I mean, it's so true. When you listen to it, it's just absolutely incredible and beautiful. And you have a beautiful voice to match as well.
Thank you. I always say that cello taught me how to sing.
Oh, really?
Because I studied classical cello performance until, you know, through a master's degree. But I never took singing lessons. And I was just singing and playing the cello at the same time. And I just kept doing that. And so I think that the timbre of that instrument, you know, it's leaning against your chest and it's vibrating. And they say it's much like the male human voice. And luckily I'm an alto, so it worked well for me. So the cello just kind of taught me how to sing, I think, through all that vibration. And then, you know, as far as all those sounds, I have a lot of people to thank, but classical music, for sure, you develop this extended techniques and stuff, but it was moving to New Orleans 23 years ago that really taught me how to stretch out my sound. You know, I started working with James Singleton,
mm-hmm.
and I started working with Johnny Vidakovich. I started working with all the Astral Project guys,
uh-huh.
Tony DeGrady, and then also then it just branched out from there. And I just, you know, horn players, flute players, drummers, percussionists, all of that's going into playing the cello. Bass players. You know, I'm a wannabe bass player, really.
So with the looping pedal, it allows you to generate a broad dynamic range of sound.
So what the looping pedal does is just like a sound engineer on the fly through your foot. Like my foot is my sound engineer, my uh-huh. right foot, and I'm stomping on this box, and it's just recording layers of what I'm putting into it. So I teach looping lessons to mm-hmm. adults and kids, and they're always like, oh, how do I sound like you? You know, I'm like, you're not going to sound like me, you're going to sound like you over and over and over again.
And so it's not the same concept as a synthesizer. It's a whole different
right.
concept.
No, that's a good question, and one that probably a lot of people wonder about when they come hear me. Oh, are these pre-recorded or these samples? But they're not. It's just a tool to record live sound.
It's a manipulation of sound waves.
Making a sound stack. Like a sandwich.
Oh, okay.
You're just recording yourself and playing it back in live time. So you have the first layer, then the second. And it takes some finesse with your footwork, much like a drummer's bass drum pedal. Has to be independently coordinated, you know. That's how it feels now with my looper. My right foot is my looping foot. And it just records me live on the fly. And I've gotten comfortable with it, so it's not awkward or mechanical. And it's really a part of the organic experience of it.
So the best way for me to describe for the listening audience is that as I listen to the performance, I'm just completely intrigued by the sounds.
Yeah, you know, when you start
layering
sounds.
Because when you break
sounds,
from the loop and you just go back to the cello.
Yes.
For, you know, short
right.
periods of time. And then you go back to the loop.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, you can drum on the cello.
Yeah.
I drum on it. It's like a big bongo.
I love that, yeah.
And then the bass lines, piccolo bass lines, and then guitar. You know, there's a lot of things you can do with the cello. It's a good instrument.
How would you describe the genre that you're actually playing? I mean, it's very diverse.
I know. I really do try because I get asked a lot, and in the world we live in, we kind of need to categorize things sometimes.
Everybody's looking for a name.
I know. And so I try to tell people it's kind of like electroacoustic world music. So I'm singing in French and English.
Right.
So, you know, I sing French songs, and I definitely come from that chanteuse style, like beginning to sing in that French mm-hmm. way that's like
yes.
a lot of chutzpah and a lot of, like, you know, good for an alto vocal singer like myself. But then I also love rock and roll and punk rock, and I sing, and I sing all types of stuff. So kind of fuse together maybe some, you know, shout out to Gwen Tompkins from NPR who said, you know, with a flare of the Velvet Underground.
Yeah,
which is true.
I saw that quote.
Yeah. There's, Brian Eno's in there. Classical music's in there. French chanson is in there. Funk. Prince is definitely a huge inspiration to me. Plus, living in New Orleans and playing with a bunch of funk bands, is in there. And I was a drummer in a girl punk band before I moved to New Orleans. So some of that is in there, So there, take all that and put it into a Belgian-American.
Born in Belgium.
Yes. Raised in Singapore, actually, for 9 years. But in a French school because my parents were trying to keep
them. So what drew you to the cello?
Honestly, my parents are both musical. They weren't professional, but semi-professional sometimes. And they just, it wasn't like what are you going to, or if, it's what. It's like not if you're going to play an instrument, it's which instrument are you going to play. Mm-hmm. And I'm really grateful to them for that. And I chose the cello. I actually chose the upright bass because I was so tall.
Right.
And then my mom, in a funny story, my mom actually tricked me into playing the cello when we went to the store because it looked enough like a bass that she fooled me. I said, when do I get to stand up, Mom? She's like, that'll come later. So she just lied through her teeth. But it was good because
What's interesting about today is we interviewed Mark Parody. I'm sure you know Mark.
Oh, yes, my buddy. We've been in a string section before.
Plays an electric cello.
Yes.
So now I have you, Helen. Uh-huh. And then at the end of today, the new executive director, Blake Anthony Johnson.
Uh-huh.
Of Jazz Fest is a cellist.
No way! Oh, we're taking over. This
You're
was my plan.
Over. I'm telling you.
It's the invasion of cello players. I'm so happy. My evil plan is working. Good.
And as I was putting this together, and I was looking at it last night, I said, "What are the odds of setting up this and having three cello players on the stage?"
I say it's a really good sign of a healthy musical ecosystem.
There you go. That's my story, and I'm sticking
that's
to
right,
it.
That's right. Well, you got to have some cello. You know, Charles Mingus was a cellist.
Yes.
He also played the bass. He primarily played the bass, but when he broke his hand, he went back to playing the cello. There's some really cool albums where he's playing cello, and Abdul Wadud with the Julius Hemphill Orchestra.
Yes.
In the 70s, one of my earliest inspirations, really heavy sound, gritty jazz sound. Ernst Reisiger is a crazy Dutch cello player who's a badass, and he was an influence on me. They've been around in the jazz world just a little bit more in the other section, and now we're infiltrating,
infiltrating.
We're coming back in.
Move
we're
it to the
in.
Front of the stage.
I hope so. Well, I'm going to be in the front of the stage today. Come and see.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. Because you have such a diverse range and you bring a lot of different genres together, do you have a favorite genre of music?
Jazz and improvisation still remains. I love just being free. In fact, songs always sound different even when I'm by myself because I like to be in the place that is an improvised music space is an absolute joy to live in. Because you're trusting that the groove is going or not going, if you're not going that direction. But what you're trusting in the moment and then in the people that are on stage with you which I do play with a lot of people and go way out in the avant-garde, which has also helped me find these sounds, that you were talking about earlier. But whether I'm by myself or with a group, I'm always improvising. I'm improvising with the weather and the audience's energy and where I'm at that day. It's nice to be in that space. So I know that doesn't narrow down the genre for you.
But it's interesting because you bring up something, and I'm kind of curious, and I've never had the opportunity to ask someone this question. So for you, is it harder to play alone or with others?
So, such an interesting question. I have a band for my French songs that we've played together so long that they read my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just as easy to get on stage by myself as with that band. Because I just trust my drummer and I are just locked in. And I don't have to worry. And I can loop, I can switch on a dime, and they're right there for the most part.
Right.
Plus, it's just fun to cue a band. It's fun to be with a band on stage. I also love playing by myself because I really do have the ultimate freedom to do whatever I want.
Right.
And so I think my true essence can come out even more when I'm as a solo artist. But then sometimes I actually have somebody sitting in with me today on saxophone and flute. And she's going to come in and play two songs. She's a total monster Jessica Lurie from Seattle and New York. She's incredible. So
when we talk about improvisation, you know, for a lot of folks, that's a foreign term.
Right. You know? And it could be scary.
Yeah. But yeah. You're playing along.
Yeah.
What happens where you're going to pivot?
Right.
You know, what is...
Usually something unexpected.
What's the influence that, you know, that causes the pivot?
Usually it's something unexpected, whether
your left ear itches or
it could be. It could be. Yeah. Get stung by a bee or something. like unexpected musically, especially if there's other people around. Like, oh, I was going to go in this tango direction, but it seems like we're going into a walking swing bass line. Oh, okay. That's where we're headed. And you just have to adapt quickly.
So, I mean, if you're there, and I don't mean to belabor this point, but I'm just totally intrigued by it.
Yeah.
And you see a couple over on the side dancing a certain style of dance.
Yeah. Well, it depends if my eyes are open or not. But if I see them and we're interacting, I usually just try to keep digging into the rhythmic component. I'll do a couple more verses for them.
And I just use that as an example of that would create that pivot for you.
Yeah, sure. If I, especially when I'm with my band and because it's a little bit more. I mean, people do dance to my solo show. I just did a ballet of my music in Kansas City, Missouri, mm-hmm. like a beautiful ballet. But I've also had people just in their cups, like dancing and. Yeah, I felt like I made it in New Orleans when I played a Ferret Street Festival, and I was playing solo, and I was jamming out, and I'm dancing in my chair. Like, I'm going to fall out of my chair one of these days. Yeah. Like, I like to dance when I get in the groove. And there was a couple, these two, like, pretty drunk girls were in the front row, and they were falling and dancing and, like, just having, like, a great time.
Great time.
And I was like, I've done it. I've made people... dance at a festival with just a cello and a loop pedal. I'm like, yes, you know.
Have you performed here before, Jazz Fest?
Yes, this is my 10th year playing my show.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've had my drummer join me some years. I've had some horn players join me. But this year I'm excited to invite a horn player for a couple tunes at the end of the set.
Any butterflies when you're before a Jazz Fest?
Just the usual excitement, you know? Yeah, I get excited. I'll you know, what time is it? Yeah, talk to me in about a half an hour. We're going to start wrapping up here. Yeah.
You'll be a whole different persona.
I start getting into my trance. Yeah.
Well, best of luck to you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
I want to just briefly, if you would, describe that loop, because there are times where you're like on the left and then all the way on the right.
I know, my right foot is just trained at this point.
You know, and sometimes with the same foot, though, and not the other. And I'm like, she's going to fall out of her chair.
I know.
I mean, you said that earlier, and it was kind of this.
I do have a really good chair. I bring my own special cello chair.
Yeah. There you go.
It keeps me in place pretty well.
But, I mean, and I guess.
Someday it could happen. I could fall out, and then I'd be like, all right, that's it. I got to stand up.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Helen Gillet, award-winning cellist, producer, and singer on the Lanyap stage today at 12:40. It's 11:35, and she's still here talking to us, so she's got to go get in the zone.
I'm going to go get in the zone. It's great to be here. Thank you so much to all your listeners, and I hope everybody has a really great festival. And
today's gorgeous.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Like, this is air conditioned out here.
And I've got a bunch of shows around town. I don't know if I can talk
about that. In fact,
tonight I'm playing at the Tiger Men Den.
Yeah.
A smaller venue. It's in the Bywater. Just come to the door. There'll be ticket first come, first served. Doors at 7:30. And then Sunday I'm having a big end of festival season blowout at the Saturn Bar with a bunch of other musicians.
8:30.
That's going to be 8:30, doors, show at 9. That's right. We got power in the house at the Saturn Bar.
And she'll be coming in on an F-15
that show. I'm going to try to bring it like an F-15 through the cello.
And then you're headed to Montclair, New Jersey.
That's right. Yep, playing in Montclair.
And the Catskills.
Catskills,
I guess,
yep.
For the opening of the season up
New
there.
York.
You know?
Yep, I'll be upstate New York a lot in the summer. So.
Absolutely. And then from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Yep.
So you're all over.
You can follow me on Instagram if anybody wants to see more. Just come and say hi on Instagram. And you can follow me on YouTube as well. So.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks
and congratulations.
For having me.
Have a great performance.
I will.
And
thank
a great fest.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We are at the Miller Lite Tent. Stay with us. All right, folks, we are joined by Loose Cattle, and they're going to be at the Sheraton New Orleans Fête au Dos stage at 1:40 p.m. today. And from New Orleans, Michael Cerveris, from West Virginia originally. Kimberly Kay, co-founder, and Jay Gonzalez on the guitar here join us today. Folks, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you. It's a beautiful day to be out at Fez.
Absolutely. I love your – how would y'all describe the genre? I mean, it leans country, right?
Yeah, it's –
but it's got its own flair to it.
Well, it's – I think it fits in the Americana umbrella these days. They used to call it, you know, roots rock and alt country and y'alternative. And
y'alternative.
Americinda.
Americinda.
Yeah. Americinda.
Yeah.
But it's where we have the rhythm section from the New Orleans band, the Iguanas. We have a surrogate sort of relationship with them, and so that really brings that kind of like southern roots rock sensibility to things. I think in a way that like we didn't traditionally have.
Yeah. Now you two are the singers, previously married. I'm told. Is that
we never made it to the altar.
We never made it to the altar.
I mean, we barely made it out of the band alive. But yes, we were a couple. We are no longer a couple. We are very much family, though. So yeah. That's happening.
But your voices very much complement one another.
Oh, thank you.
I think it creates a very unique sound. It wasn't until long afterwards that I learned that. Okay, y'all were an item, whatever you want to call it.
Well, I think you know, we have, it feels like we're blood, you know blood relatives, because our voice kind of naturally sort of blend in that way. So I think people have always sort of thought that we had you know, a deep connection, which is true. It just isn't literal blood.
I mean, it's West Virginia, though, so you got to be careful. People are really going to make assumptions. Now we're in Louisiana. It's a whole thing. But there's the name for
it's
it.
It's a very dangerous
conversation. They call it blood harmony. People call that blood harmony, that sort of like sound of people who've been singing together a long time. It's special. We're really lucky. And we have Rurik Noonan, who's just this remarkable fiddle player here. He's in like nine bands here in town. Absolute monster. But he sings as well. And so we've got this sort of Crosby, Stills, Nash. I don't know who wants. You want to be young. I know you want to be young. But
I don't know what they call it on the fiddle, but on the guitar, I think it's like a chicken picking that he does on the fiddle, which is, would that be right?
Yeah.
I mean, and it's the sounds that come out are like incredible.
He's a shredder. He's an absolute monster.
And he's amazing because he can play, you know, he can sit down and play with a jazz combo. He can play with, you know, weird Ukrainian folk people. He can play with Mahmoud, he plays.
Yes, he was playing like cigar box violin at 2 a.m. one night, and then the next day he's like hopping doing close harmonies. And like what Rourke's doing on the fiddle is like legitimate rock and roll, you know, Pete Townsend level guitar shred. And it just happens. We call his chin guitar, you know, just like a little tiny.
You know what I love about all of the New Orleans bands is that they all have a unique nuance.
Yeah.
To what they do. And all have a nuanced story behind them, you know, which is very, very interesting. That I think kind of contributes to the uniqueness of what they're offering.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's the thing that makes a New Orleans band, you know, because people, I think, in the rest of the country, in the rest of the world, they think of New Orleans for specific kinds of music, you know.
Your funk, your Radiators, your Meters, your brass bands.
Or your old Preservation Hall kind of stuff.
Right.
Which, you know, is a real deep root in all the music here. But I think that's really true. What makes we're definitely a New Orleans band. And even though we're doing kind of country Americana stuff, people have said to me a bunch of times, like, I can tell that y'all are from Louisiana.
Anytime we leave town, people are like, oh, y'all are New Orleans band. That's what you're doing. But, like, maybe Jay can speak to, because Jay's, you know, from Georgia. And so, like, how is it that it's identifiable as Louisiana when we get out of here?
I don't know if it's the pocket of the groove, sort of. I mean, I think it has a lot to do with the rhythm section. But also the melting pot, kind of.
Right.
Just all different American styles coming from everywhere, which New Orleans is, you know, and y'all do, too.
So, Doug, did you ever think that you would play in a band with Yul Brynner?
It's been a dream of mine. I mean, you know,
Michael Cerveris, if you didn't know, is to the listening audience, a Tony Award-winning actor as well.
He is indeed.
And you kind of, you have, when the first time I saw y'all play, I said, my God, that guy looks exactly like Yul Brynner.
He does.
I'm just waiting for somebody to make the Yul Brynner biopic.
I just did.
Producers, if you're listening, lines are open now.
Yes. Please call at 504. How is that? How has that worked for you? I mean, you've been in, on a stage with a number of folks and in movies with a number of folks as well.
Yeah, you know, I grew up playing music really before I started acting and kind of did both. You know, I had a band in junior high school that was not very good, but was really loud, so that was an important thing in junior high school.
I had one of those. I played in one of those, too. I was a drummer.
There you go.
Yeah.
A very poor drummer, but
yeah. So I've sort of always done both, but somehow miraculously I learned how to make a living doing the acting thing. So acting's become my day job, and it's underwritten my music job, which where I mostly lose money. That's how I know I'm an actual musician. And I don't know. It doesn't. It seems like two sides of the same kind of creative expression to me. It's just like, you know, one arena, I do it in one way, and this one, I think if anything, I'm a little more kind of shy but protective and interested in my music side, because that's really where my personal creative impulses kind of get to be seen, you know. And sharing stuff, like having a band has always been really important to me, like
right.
being in a group. Like, I was never big on being a solo artist or anything, so...
Well, you feel that vibe. Your voice, incredibly wide range. I forgot what song it was y'all were singing. You hit a note that I was watching. I was like, oh, my God. Because, I mean, you were like here, and then the next thing you're like there. You know, and you were looking at her, actually, at the time, you know, and it's...
Yes.
Your head kind of went back a little bit, and it's like, even he thinks this is off the charts.
You well, know? You know, but that's like kind of the joy of singing with a group is like every performance is a new opportunity to hear exactly how gifted and talented the people that you've surrounded yourself with are. And like, how do you not get excited about that? Any like Jay will play a solo and my jaw will drop. Michael will hit a note that is one of the reasons he has a Tony Award. And again, your jaw drops. So just trying to meet people at their level and having them bring you up, like, that's what everybody's getting high off of out at the fairgrounds, is, like, that thing that music does to everybody.
I love, when, you know, part of the bio that you just picked up a guitar and figured, I'm going to learn how to play the guitar. Were you professionally trained in voice?
So I started, you know, like most people do, especially down here in New Orleans, singing in church choirs. That's where you learn how to, like, you know, that's where you learn how to harmonize, you learn to count to four, and then you learn to count to eight, and then you learn to reset it.
Yep.
I
played, you know, trumpet was my,
oh, really?
Oh, here's how I learned how to read music thing as a kid, and I played in a ska band, and now I'm really dating myself, like, but, like, you know, played in a ska band, played in a punk bands the same way, you know, we're not good, but we're loud, and that's very important, and then at some point you hit middle age and you're like, oh, I'm, oh gosh, I just would just like to really harmonize with
middle
people.
Age, you look 19.
Very well preserved. But yeah, so I think like most people, you start learning to sing in groups, and if you're really, really lucky, you wake up one day and you're, you know, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, and you're still getting to sing with other people. That stuff is magic.
I ask this question of most folks that perform, you know, what their favorite song is, and they all tell me that's the toughest question to answer. Usually it's the latest single that we broke that, you know, that's gone out there. But do you have a favorite?
Of ours?
Yeah. I have a lot of favorites from Jay's main band is the Drive-By Truckers.
Drive-By Truckers.
I have tons
favorite
songs from
we
them.
Could go on and on. We could do a whole, you know, documentary about that. But right now, I'm a big fan of, we have this rocker called The Shoals that Michael wrote as like a show-offy piece that has that real kind of swampy Louisiana feel, and that's
it's about Alabama. But.
It's about Alabama, but it's you know
swampy
it's got
part
it's,
of Alabama.
Yeah, it's fine. If it's wet
it's
and if it's dark
detail.
And if it's warm, it's all kind of the same.
The humidity's about the same.
Yeah,
that's
all
that matters.
If you're at 90% dew point, that's what we're singing about.
I love you know what y'all do, and I just love this energy that you have. I could tell that you don't view yourself as the center of any universe. It comes right out, you know, that it's something bigger and other, you know, and that's yeah. out there. And
I mean,
you catch it. I get that sense from y'all right away.
I feel like the world has a million ways to show you how you're not the center of the universe.
Right. Yep.
And we're just very
it ain't
open
fair,
to
is
that
it?
Fact.
Yeah. It's rough out there. Stay yeah. in school, as Roddy Dangerfield said.
Absolutely. Although I do think though that we take a particular interest and pride in kind of focusing on communities. And,
yeah, I got a whole patch about it on this. Yeah. Community yeah. is resistance. Like the especially yeah. living in Louisiana, like knowing your neighbors, caring about people, even if you don't necessarily know their last name or where they went to high school, just that feel, I think, permeates.
Well, you have to know where they went to high school. In
yeah, yeah, right. Actually, you're right. That's right, yeah. yeah.
Well, guys, thank you all so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Have a great performance today.
Thank you.
Loose Cattle at 1:40 at the Sheraton New Orleans Fête aux Deux stage, folks. Get by there and see them. Have a great fest.
Thanks
Thank
so
you,
much.
You too.
All right, we'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and text line. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. I got to thank Tia Henry over at Cafe Dauphine. They're our new vendor here. You definitely want to get by there. I just woofed down their fried stuffed bell pepper. Absolutely unbelievable. You got to get over there and try it. And they also have shrimp and crawfish egg rolls. That's next up on the list. I apologize. I didn't realize I was running out of time as I was consuming this, but it's incredible nonetheless. And I apologize to Tia that we just ran out of time and weren't able to get her on, and she had to get back to the booth. So get over there and try the fried stuffed bell peppers and the shrimp and crawfish egg rolls. She's in Food Area 1. Don't miss it. We'll be right back with Bud Brinberg, creative director of the Jazz Fest poster and all of the clothing. He's a hoot. And also Blake Anthony Johnson, the new CEO of Jazz and Heritage Festival Foundation. And Nick Hazard from Miller Lite. Stay with us.